Yeah, I like to be straightforward.
All right.
All right.
I think you're going to move like that.
Now that angle, I'm looking over there at T. Kind of amen. Again, good morning, church. How are we doing today?
All right.
Good, good. Look, Sydney get to sit out in the audience today. No, no,
yeah.
Enjoying every moment of that.
Yeah, we get to be every weekend.
All right, let's get started. The message today is, the title of my message is Two Fish Tales.
Okay.
And we're going to be working out of, reading out of Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 20, and Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 and 10. You go ahead and mark those places because that's where we'll be reading from the scriptures. I'm going to give you one question before we get started. It's, are we disobedient to God? Or do we follow him without questions? And it's kind of, last week, Sydney had a chance to talk a little bit about being disobedient to those, to God. And we're going to kind of collaborate on that a little bit more today, okay? Before we get started, we're going to go ahead and start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning, Father. We thank you for waking us up, another day, Father. There are many, Father, that could not get out of bed for whatever reason, but you saw fit to give us a chance this morning. We just ask that, Father, as we go through the word today, Father, that it doesn't come from me, but it comes from you.
Amen.
That hearts will be changed, that we will be better people than the people we were when we walked through those doors.
Father. That's right.
Continue to bless us as church and as a family. It's in Jesus' name we pray all faith.
Amen.
All right, y'all know how I like to start things off, right?
Yes, a story.
I got a story for you. The name of this story is The Church Lady.
Oh,
I don't know if y'all heard this one, but I thought this was a pretty one. All right, there was a little old lady who was very spiritual, one who would step out on her porch every day, raise her hands to the sky, and yell, "Praise the Lord." One day, an atheist brought a house next door to her, and he became very irritated with the spiritual lady. Okay. So after a month or so of her yelling, "Praise the Lord," from her porch, he would go outside on his porch and yell back, "There's no Lord." Yet the little old lady continued. One cold wintry day, when the little old lady couldn't get to the store, she went out on her porch, she raised her hands up to the sky, and she said, "Help me, Lord. I have no money, it's cold, and I have no more food." The next morning, she went outside, and there was a bag full of groceries on her porch, enough to last her for a week. Again, she says, "Praise the Lord," she yelled, as loud as she could. The atheist stepped out on the porch from around the bushes and said, "There's no Lord. Ha, ha, ha. I brought those groceries." Hold on, let's get a look at this. The little old lady looked at him. She raised up her arms to the sky and said, once again, "Praise the Lord. You sent me groceries and you made the devil pay."
I love it.
Start that again, chocolate.
Yeah.
All right, starting over with Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 20. We're going to start reading there. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He said, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's move over to Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 and 10. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Mm-hmm. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it, claim to be the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. From Nineveh, it was a very large city. It took 3 days to get there. Jonah began going on his second journey to the city, proclaiming, 40 more days in Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevehites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloths. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with a sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. There's a proclamation he issued to the Nineveh. By the decree of the king and of his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals cover with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up the evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and be compassionate and turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented, and he did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So we got two stories here, one of the disciples and one of Jonah. But now, Jonah's story is a little different. Jonah was not as excited to jump on board as you saw the disciples were. Jonah had a journey. His journey started a little different.
Amen.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Then, you know, that's four chapters that you can go back. Everybody knows the story of the big fish. You know, some people say they don't know how you live in a well, but hey, I've never been inside one, so I don't know. But God can do miracle things. But again, that's what the story states. But, you know, you can tell that, but these stories are one that also speaks of obedience to God and the willingness to follow God's directions for us. Many of us recall the story of Jonah, the book of Jonah, again, it's four chapters, and I believe in the story. But also the major point that divides the scholars seems to be on the supernatural of this issue. Mm-hmm. But so today we're going to debate and argue the story, because we won't talk about all that. Because we know that Jonah was in the story, Jonah did what he did, and his own disobedience. But there's four things here, or three things that Jonah was about that kind of describe his character. He was stubborn, disobedient, and prideful. Now, who of us or who of me like Jonah? At many times in my life, I think I got all three of those covered.
Amen. Yep.
I can be a little stubborn. I can be a little disobedient. And I also can be very prideful. Mm-hmm. You can ask my wife, go believe. She'll probably testify that. Amen. Mm-hmm. But as we know, you know, being disobedient, we know that, you know, just think about the time when you go back in your life and you talk about being disobedient. We all go through it. I remember as a child. I remember one time my mom told me, she says, I don't want you swimming down at that pond with them boys. And I'm like, you know, it's Mississippi. It's hot. Everybody's swimming. And of course, we were so disobedient. We swim in the nude. We'd take all our clothes off. No one is, our underwear would get brown from the water. Like the water was just that nasty. But of course, on a hot summer, you want to get in the water. So we get down and we go down to the pond and we swimming in the water. And we got all our clothes on the bank, and then somebody comes along, some little girls, and they take our clothes. So, yeah, they took. So, you know, and the thing about it, we weren't worried about the clothes. You know what we worried about, don't you?
Mama.
You got to go home. And that disobedience part was a part that was more worried about. Now, we'd walk around naked if we had to, but getting home was the issue. And I remember we finally got our clothes back, but by this time, the parents of those girls had called our parents. We were walking back home, and we crossed two pastures to get back to our house. Calabasas. And as we're walking along, we see, who is that coming there? Oh, they're walking real fast, and they come across the pass. Lord and behold, it was my mom. And she was looking, you know, she was walking like that. You always see that stone walk kind of? Oh, she was stepping, boy. And everybody was like, ooh, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And I was saying to myself, where can I go hide? Where can I run? You know, so, of course, that none of that worked. She dragged me back to the house, beat me like I was a redhead stepchild. And all the time she was beating, she said, you know, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you from your disobedience. Is you could drown in that pond.
Yeah.
And you're my only child. Mm-hmm. And I was not going to let you go out like that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I know that's what you wanted to do, to leave your friends, but that disobedient part is I'm trying to protect you and to protect myself because I don't want to have to put you in the ground. So that's that she's beating me, that's what she's telling me. Of course, I remember the story, but at the time, it wasn't a story I cared about. I remember the story. And if you look at Jonah was like that. God had told Jonah what to do. We all know the story. Mm-hmm. But what did Jonah do?
He got in that boat.
Jonah told God and me, he said he'd just go his own different way. He wasn't going to do what God said. Even though God has done that. He does that to us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
God tells us things all the time. Go out, see somebody, you know, you walk, just kind of some time, you're walking by somebody, and God tells you, you know, you should reach out to them. You should have said something. Or you see a homeless person or somebody, you know, and the Bible says, "One, if you've done something for one of them, you've done it for me." You think about that a little bit. You go,
yeah.
I could have gave them a dollar. I got plenty. I have to pay. And you, all these, though, you got to understand. When God is talking to you, he says little words, little actions in your mind. And that's where your disobedience comes in, like Jonah. You know, Jonah was different than the disciples because the disciples, what were their reaction when God came?
They immediately.
Immediately followed. But Jonah had to take the journey of going through all the different things. And we know the story. I'm not going to read the whole story about Jonah and the storm and how he did things. But one thing I want us to understand about when we look at these two fish stories. One fish story, he had to be swallowed by a fish to get to the right, to where he needed to be. And in his journey, though, he passed through many other people, and they looked at him, too, like, what are you doing? Why won't you be obedient to God? I think a lot of times we're told that by one another.
Yep.
But our disobedience, and that's where our pridefulness comes. Because we think we know better. We think we understand our situation. A lot of times those friends and those people that are coming into your life are telling you what you need to hear.
Come on.
But our pridefulness keeps us away from being able to hear because God uses people in many ways to help us. You know, sometimes I think, you know, and don't get me wrong, he used people to hurt us as well. There are some people you shouldn't listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you studied up on your scripture and you prayed up like we're supposed to, we will know when we see those types of people.
Yes.
Our antennas will go up and go, no, this is not a godly conversation we're having. This is a worldly conversation.
Mm-hmm. Tell the truth.
This is what Jonah's listening to. I want to be more like a disciple listening to.
Come on.
But you know, when we think about all our different ways of going through life, we understand that being disobedient or obedient to God is a choice. It is a decision you make every day that you get up. We wake up in the morning, we can be like a Jonah, we can make all these other excuses for different reasons why we won't do what we're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can be like the disciples.
Come on.
And jump out of that boat and say, let's go.
Come on.
That's it.
I got a story for you. You know, I like a few stories.
Come on, bring it.
Bring it.
On New Year's Day, 1929, Georgia Tech played the University of California in the Rose Bowl. And when a game man named in the game, a man named Roy Regals recovered a fumble for California. Somehow he became confused and started running 65 yards in the wrong direction. One of his teammates, Benny Long, outdistanced him and basically downed him just before he scored for the opposing team. When California attempted to punt, the Tech, it says, after this, when the California attempted to punt, Tech blocked the kick and scored a safety, which was an ultimate margin of victory. Mm-hmm. He said, the strange play came in the first half. Everyone who was watching the game was asking the same question. What would Coach Nibbs Price do with Roy in the second half? he said, the men filled the field and went out of the dressing room. They sat down on the benches and on the floor, all but Regals. He put a blanket over his shoulder and he sat down in a corner. He put his face over his hands and he cried like a baby. If you played football, you know that how the coach usually looked at you if you made an error. Mm-hmm. He said that day Coach Price was quiet. No doubt he was trying to decide what to do with Regals. Mm-hmm. When the timekeeper came and announced that there was 3 minutes before playing time, Coach Price looked at the team and said simply, "Men, the same team that played the first half will start the second half." Mm-hmm. The players got up and started out, all but Regals. He did not budge. The coach looked back and called him, says he still did not move. Coach Price went over to Regals and sat down beside him. And he looked up at his cheeks and he says, with the strong man's tears, Coach said, I can't do it to save my life. I ruined yours. That's what he says to Coach. I ruined the University of California. I ruined myself. I could face the crowd in the stadium and save my life. The Coach Price reached over and put his hands on Regal's shoulder and said to him, "Roy, get up, go back in the game, and in the game. And Roy Regals went back, and those Tech men would tell you that they have never seen a man play football the way Roy Regals played the second half. Mm-hmm. See, we a lot of times make mistakes.
Yeah.
Be disobedient, be prideful in whatever we may do. And we think the half is over with. But that just as Coach Price here gave him a second chance. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a God of a second chance,
guys. Mm-hmm.
No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter whether you've been disobedient to God.
Come on.
Or you've been prideful. Well, you've been all the things that you know you shouldn't be. Don't give up.
That's right.
Because just as this coach realized with this young man, he just needed a second chance. And he excelled. We too can have a second chance.
Come on.
We get up every morning, and a lot of times, we're not like the disciples. We know it. I know I ain't. I don't know about the rest of y'all. There are days I'm not like the disciples. I don't get out that boat quickly and run to God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get up and do it on my own. I'm like Jonah, be a little disobedient, but prideful. But that's okay. God is just like Coach Price. It's a second chance. Mm-hmm. That's a second half. The first half is gone. Put it behind you. Let it go. Whatever is the sin, whatever is in your life, put it back.
That's right.
Don't let the world tell you that defines who you are, mm-hmm. because it does not. God says that every day that you give up, you got a second chance. You're in the game.
Come on.
Every second that you breathe, you're in the game.
Yep.
Do we stumble and fall? Do we have mishaps? Do we have tragedies in our lives? Do we have trials and tribulations, yes, and the Bible speaks of those. But we got to remember, we have a God of a second chance.
Yep.
Come on.
He says that, you know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say that, based on what you may or may not do. Lord. He just says that. That's a blanket statement. That means with whatever you have done, whatever in your life has changed or whatever,
you still have a second chance with God at all times. You know, if we look at the story of the disciples, their story was a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of God called, I'm on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked, let me run. As many of us, we started off like that too. When we first got baptized, we ran on. When this time come along, we've gotten a little bit slower to get on the boat.
Sure.
For whatever reason. It's not here to judge anyone. In fact, I can judge my own self. That's not my thing. But I tell you, we have a second chance. We can go back and be like those disciples. And just as Jesus called us in that first day when we got baptized, we still have a second chance.
Come on.
You know, I always tell people, you know, I go around different cities and stuff, and anyone that ever visited this church has left here in a whole different light, guys. Trust me. Mm-hmm. I go and meet people that say, hey, I was at your Jackson church, and I've never been so encouraged in my life.
Come on.
You got to be doing something right. So you may say to yourself, wow, you know, we're a small group, we're not doing this, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're encouraging others as you reach out to people who come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're going to get ready to start praying with the people in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
That's encouraging, guys. That shows that people care for you as much as they care for everyone else. Though I told you earlier, we're many churches all over the country.
That's right.
All over the world.
Yeah.
We're just a little one here. There's a big one down the street. You know, Nashville. There's a big one in Atlanta. But guess what? They can't reach people that you can reach in this small congregation.
That's right.
They can't encourage people the way you encourage people in this small congregation. So we have to always look at that and understand that we have to keep on pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And keep on understanding that we will stumble.
Right.
We will be a Jonah at times.
Mm-hmm.
Or we will be the disciples at times.
Yep.
But one thing for sure, we're always God's children.
That's right.
That's right.
So we're God's children all the time. You've got to always understand that God loves you no matter what you may do.
Yeah.
What may go through your life. What may happen. Mm-hmm. We cannot give up. We cannot look back. We have to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a funeral yesterday for my aunt, and that just seems to be what we do these days as we get older in life. It's just part of who we kind of come to be. But she lived a good life. I don't know all her struggles, but I remember her as my aunt who could cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived with her for quite a time. My mom and father were in some, what we could call, marital disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go live with her. And so I was like one of her sons. And she would always take care of me. She would, you know, never treat me any different. And that was just my aunt. But, you know, they were saying yesterday, you know, at our funeral, people said that how she would give to, she took the pastor's kids at the church, who was a young pastor, didn't have a whole lot of money, was still working as a pastor, and took his kids and said, I'll keep your kids for you. So you won't have to have a child care bill.
Mm-hmm.
See, those are the hearts and minds of people who are trying to be like God.
Yes.
And that was encouraging. And I said to myself, I said, am I living a life like that? Am I giving to people? When one day when my time comes, when people say that he was a guy who cared about people, that's the only thing that we got, guys, to care about people. No matter who they are, who comes into this church, or who we meet on the street, end of the day, God wants us to care about people.
That's right.
He don't want us to look at the dirt of the people, the sins of the people, just the people.
Come on.
So often we judge people on a scale of where they are in life or what their situations are. That's not what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
All God wants us to do is share the good news.
That's right.
As I said earlier, to share the good news. Go out, speak, talk,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, build relationships, just say hi.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, God will do the rest of the work.
Yep.
Come on.
Sometimes things get in our way. Like all these different things. But at the end of the day, God will intervene.
Yep. Jesus.
Come on.
I got another story here for you. I like this one. Got a couple of them here for you.
Bring it, bro.
Many years ago, a weary traveler hiked for miles across the desert with the hot sun beating down on his back. His water supply was gone, and he knew that if he didn't find water soon, quench his thirst, he would surely die. In the distance, he spotted a deserted cabin, which brought hope and maybe water could be found. He made his way to the cabin and discovered the old well. He frantically pumped and pumped the handle, and the well did not draw water. But all that time, he was just getting dust out of the pump. Then he noticed a tin can tied behind the pump, and it had a note inside. The note said, "Dear stranger, this pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker water pump in it, and it should last for quite a few years. But the water dries out if the pump is not primed." Some of y'all may not know what that
No.
Yeah, but your old farm boy, I'll tell you what it is. He said, "Under the water rock," he says, the note said, "Under the water rock, under the white rock, I buried a jar of water so that it would stay out the sun so it wouldn't dry up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink it first." He says, "Pour about a quarter of water into the pump and let this soak for a minute so that the wet of the leather of the washers, it would wet the washers so that they would, you know, the leather washers. Mm-hmm. Then pour in the rest of the water into the pump and you'll get water." He said, "Have faith. This will never run dry." Mm-hmm. He said, so the question was he following the directions? Mm-hmm. So here you walk up and there's a note left. And the note says, "This pump works. I know it does. But the first thing you got to do is prime it." Mm-hmm. And what priming means is you got to have water to start the prime process. That's mm-hmm. what the jar of water for. You pour it in and evidently the gaskets in there need to be wet. Mm-hmm. And then once they get wet, the water will come up. Mm-hmm. We used to do this at my aunt's house out in Bentonia, Mississippi when I was a young boy. They had a pump. And I remember there was always water there, a jar of water. I just never knew at the time, but you poured it in and you got the pump primed. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what it was instructions. He said, "Now, if you drink it, you won't have enough water to prime the pump." Mm-hmm. And he's thirsty. He could have just took his wig up. But he had the directions on what to do. I look at us, the church. God left us directions.
Yep.
It's called a Bible. Mm-hmm. And just as this man has a choice, he says, you know, you can go the short way, mm-hmm. or you can read the instructions and follow what they say.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because the instructions will keep you from being obedient or disobedient to God. The obedience part is, I'm not going to read. I'm not going to take note of what it says. Mm-hmm. The obedient part is, I'm going to follow God's instruction.
Come on.
That's our hope and that's our dream. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. We have the Bible. We have all the instructions we need. We can make the choice of whether we want to be like Jonah or we want to be like the disciples. The question has always been ours. Mm-hmm. Just like it was this young man's here as well. We can decide to just go ahead and just ignore it. Or we can follow the instructions that will tell us how to be obedient to God.
Right.
God doesn't want us to fall away from Him or push away from each other. He wants us to be a prosperous people.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be a joyful people.
That's right.
Come on.
Not a sad people, not a people that run and go, you know, oh God, church. No. We should have the heart when we say church, oh man, I'm going to meet with my people.
Come on, hang out with
God's people.
Come on,
it's just like going to a football game with mm-hmm. my best team, Georgia Bulldogs.
Stop.
You know that's how our hearts should be. We those instructions and that manual, getting together as a family, mm-hmm. as a church family, should be a joyful moment. Anytime we can get together. I enjoy the times that I see when I come to town and you guys got, we're doing something and people come over. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of our church. I'll tell you that. I'm proud enough to say that anybody that comes over, I'm proud they come to meet you. Mm-hmm. Now, whether they decide to come back, that's their decision.
Right.
That's right.
But I'm proud that they come to meet true people of God.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
As disciples of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? I know when they meet you, they're meeting good people.
That's
they're
right.
meeting people who would care about them.
That's right.
Because of what the Bible tells you and the instructions you follow.
That's right.
Many people go to churches, they don't follow these instructions
right.
for whatever reason.
Come on.
But I know as us as a church, we can do our best. Nah, we ain't perfect. Don't get me wrong. We all fall short of the glory. That's what God says in the Bible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we keep pushing.
That's
right.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's proud to be a part of a church that cares about people. Yeah. I'm getting ready to close out here. Don't worry. I won't keep y'all too long. I know that Titans win yesterday. Y'all waiting on the next football. next upset, because that was truly an upset. But amen.
Amen.
I thought about you the whole time. If I was there, she'd probably jumping up going, can't be happy. But it is happening. But at that first question I asked you at the beginning, we go back to it, it says, are we disobedient to God or do we follow him without questions? The story of the two fish is the disciples were very well, we know that from our studies. They were eager to follow Christ without any question.
Right.
Without any direction. They didn't know where they were going, honestly. They said, the man came along and said, hey, follow me. They were fishermen. You understand? They were running a business. Mm-hmm. And got out the boat and said, hey, I'm out. I'm gone. This is where I need to go. Mm-hmm. How obedient is that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you go quit your job now. Do nothing. But, if God calls you there and that's where you need to be,
that's right.
Then go where you need to be. A friend of mine was telling me the other day, he was saying that he's gotten into some charity. Well, he started a charity on his own. He says, Henry, I think God found my calling. Mm-hmm. He says, I go to church every Sunday doing all this. He said, I just felt like I needed to find something. For me, he said, now I feel like this is what God wanted me to be. And what he does is, he's from Nigeria. He sends back, go to the schools and help the kids, give scholarship money. He's collecting money here to help young men, young women in Nigeria.
Right.
Or that don't have some of the things that other people have. And he just says, just talking to him, his enthusiasm, he's like, he says, I'm thinking about maybe going down into South America. I hear, so I'm going to take a trip down there, somewhere down there. He says, I think there may be some opportunity there. I'm like, amen, bro. Amen. But just to hear that, and the reason why I say that is, we don't know what your calling is.
No.
Right.
But I tell you what, you got to listen to God and see what it is.
Come on.
He said there were many people that was telling him, that ain't going to work, this and that. He listened to God. Mm-hmm. Listened to
Come
what
on.
God was telling him.
Come on.
If God tells you get out the boat, let's go.
Get out.
Get out the boat.
Yep.
Don't let anyone discourage you. Don't let anyone tell you you're not doing what God wants.
Come on.
Because no one knows what God wants but God.
Yep.
And he can use us in many different ways. Now, no one else may could have touched these children's lives he has. Who knows what the future may bring for them? Mm-hmm. But God does. So he's doing what he thinks that God wants him to do. Then go forward and be God. Do what God asks.
Mm-hmm.
Many times you hear a call just like the disciples were. Get out the boat and go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Be what you need to be. I'm sad to say, you don't have to wait on sin to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait on anyone. You got ideas about how to serve people, serve them. Yeah. That's what God wants us to be.
We're not robots.
We're not. If back in the past, it used to be someone had to tell you what to do, how to do. I'll be honest, that was a lot of what was going on.
Yep.
But that's not the freedom of Christ, guys.
Come on.
The freedom of Christ is he talks to each and every one of you in your own special way.
Yep.
That no one sees and no one knows. And you have to be like these disciples on the end.
That's right.
You get out the boat and you go. You serve. You do what you need to do. If it's about God, God will bless you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He will show you the way.
Come on.
So I leave you with a couple of course things here. It says, as I close out, it says, we've heard the two tales of fishes, the fish tales. One is one of disobedience, which is Jonah. Mm-hmm. He did not follow God's instructions all the way. Mm-hmm. And he suffered quite a bit through that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, but while the others listened and followed and obeyed, they left their nets, their entrapments, and he went and followed the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now we have some questions in our lives. Do we want to be like Jonah, or we want to be like the disciples? Listening to God, obeying God, and being obedient to what he wants us to do. If we can follow the latter one and be like the disciples, God will do great things. I understand this. Through your disobedience, God still will do great things.
Amen.
Don't think because you're disobedient, you get out of it. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
God can take the worst of the worst, mm-hmm. and do great things.
Come
He's
on.
Shown that in the Bible many times.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. Amen.
So, the question though, do you want to struggle? Do you want to kind of have a maybe easy path?
All
come
right
on.
The choice is yours. Mm-hmm. It always has been and always will be.
Come on.
The question is, which path do we take?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.